Is daf is daf kuf mem hey. So we got to four lines down. The Gemara says lema. Gemara says lema tenuli bali ve'esmach imo is a tanai. This discussion we had yesterday, where she could say, listen, the husband, the chassan died, and they wanted to take the money back, the kedushin that they gave the kala, they wanted to take it back. The chassan's family, she could say, listen, I'm ready to get married, bring him up from the dead, and let's get married. And so the fact that that discussion is really machlokas tanaim, the Gemara says. Tanya, the Braisa says, I'm aris esa isha basula, a person who gets engaged to a woman who's a basula, gova masayim, so he collects the 200. Gemara is going to explain all of this. V'almana, amana, and when he marries an amana, she gets a mana only. Makom shenagu lahachzir kedushin machzirin, in a place where the custom is to return back the kedushin, so you return back the kedushin. But it's a makom shenagu shelo lahachzir kedushin ein machzirin. Divrei Rabbi Nassim. So Rabbi Nassim says, whether you return the kedushin or not, it all depends on the makom shenagu. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer. Be'emes amru, in truth it is, makom shenagu lahachzir machzirin. Makum shenagu shelo lahachzir ein machzir. So he says the same exact thing. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says the same exact thing as Rabbi Nassim, that it all depends on makum shenagu, whether or not you return the kedushin. And so the Gemara asks this question: Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi haynu tanakama. This the same exact shita. So el alav, is it not tenuli bali v'esmachimo ikabenayo? It must be the nafkamina is whether or not she could claim. Listen, bring my husband back, and I'll have a simcha together. So that's the debate. How so? So the Gemara rereads this braisa entirely and says, V'chasur mechsura v'halchi katani. Ha'ma'aris is ha'isha basula, a person who gets engaged to a woman who's a basula, gova masayim, collects 200, v'almana mana, if it's an amana, it's only 100. Ba'med dvar mamurim, dehadar be'ihu. If he retracts, he pulls out of the marriage, so then she gets her 200 and 100 respectively. Aval mesa, but if she dies, so then makum shenagu l'hachzir machzirin, makum shenagu shelol hachzir ein machzirin. So when the kala dies, whether her family has to return that kedushin back to the chasan, all depends on where they live and the custom. And then the Gemara says further, v'dafka shemesahi. This is only true if the kala dies. Aval mes hu, if the chasan dies, ein machzirin. You definitely do not return. The kala who's alive is not forced to return the kedushin back to the dead chasan, or at least his family. My time, why not? Because Yecholahi Shetoma, she could say, Tenuli Bali Vesmachimo, I'm waiting here for my husband, bring him back from the dead, and we could get married. So therefore we see from the Tanakama that she can make such a Taina, and she doesn't have to return the Kedushin if her husband dies. For Asa Rabbi Huda, but now the second opinion of the mission of the Braisa, Asa Rabbi Huda Nasi Lamemar, he says no. Be'emes Amru, the halacha is, Bein Mesu, Bein Mesahi. Whether the kala dies, whether the chasan dies, doesn't make a difference. It all depends on Makum Shinagul Hachsir Machsirim, Makum Shinagul Shlol Hachsir, Ein Machsirim. Ve'lo Matsir Amra, she can't say, if her husband's dead, she cannot say, Tenuli Bali Vesmachimol, bring me my husband and let's have a simcha. She cannot make such a taina. Even if the husband dies, according to, if it's a Makum Shinagu, she still has to return back to the Kedushin. So these two opinions, which again is very vague in the Raisa, the way it's presented, but the Gemara suggests that they're arguing about this concept, whether or not she can make a claim if he dies, to Nuli Bali V'es Machima. The Gemara says, lo, that is not the way this braisa should be understood, because the Chuli Alma, everybody agrees, Yechol Shetomar Tenuli Bali V'es Machima. Udemes Hu Chuli Alma Lo Pligi. Everybody agrees if the husband dies, she can make such a taina that I'm waiting here, and she does not have to return back to the kedushin. So what's the debate between Rabbi Nassim and Rabbi Huda Nasi? So ki pligi, when they're arguing is shemesahi. When she dies now, so does the family have to return back the diamond ring or return back whatever the kedushin is? The hacha b'kedushin l'tibuin nitnu kamiflagi. They're arguing about whether when the husband, the chassan rather, gave the kedushin, whether it's l'tibuin. I think lashon tibuin is like not matbeya, but tava bayam, when someone sinks. When he gave it over to be sunk, to be lost forever, he gave it, whatever happens, it's yours and your family's. That's the debate. So Rabbi Nassan savar kedushin lav l'tibuin nitnu. It wasn't given to be sunk, if you will, and to be lost forever. It was given so long as we get married. But if we don't get married, so then you have to return back the money to me. But Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Savar, Kedushin Litibu Ninu, it was given to be lost and to be sunk with that family. So even if she does die, the family does not need to return it back. And that's the whole debate. So the Gemara says, how could you say that's the debate? The Braisa clearly says, it all depends on the Makum Shinagu. They're not debating fundamentally what the Chassan's intention was, whether he gives it to Litibun or not Litibun. It all depends on the Minag Makum, nothing to do with the Chassan. So the Gemara says, no, it does have to do with the Chassan. The line of Makum Shinagu is Hachi Kamar. Uvisavlonos Vadai Makum Shinagu Lahachsi Machsir. When it comes to the Kesef Kedushin that they get engaged with, if she dies, can the family keep it or not? That depends on whether the intention of the Chassan was Litibun or not Litibun. But let's say the Sivlonos, which are additional gifts, look what Rashbam says. Sivlonos, it's around 15 narrow lines up. Sivlonos Vadai Behahu Modina Lecha Diminag Talia Milsa. When it comes to Sivlonos, everybody agrees it depends on the Minag Makom. Behu, what is Sivlonos? After they've gotten engaged, they sent additional gifts. Aval kedushin vaday litibun nitnu. So the debate is about kedushin, but the makom shenagu, that's only about whether you return all the additional gifts or not. So I don't know halacha lemaisa how it happened, but let's say a person does happen frequently. A person gets engaged, you give a diamond ring, and then they break the wedding off. Does the kala have to return back the diamond ring? So that's what sivlonos are. That's a little bit different because this case was there was first a kedushin and then they gave additional gifts sivlonos. We don't have a real formal kedushin until the chuppah, but seemingly that would sound like the same thing. The diamond ring really has no significance. It's a gift. Does she have to return that diamond ring or not? So just again, I'm not paskin, just based on this Gemara, and you can't paskin based on the Gemara alone, it would seem that it depends on the Makom Shenagu, what would the normal practice be, if there is a practice, in a certain area. Okay, the Gemara now says, V'hanit tanai kahani tanai. So this machlokas now, we said, they're arguing about whether or not the person gives the kedushin l'tibu nitnu, or lo, it's really another machlokas tanai we have in the following braisa. So the Tanya. The braisa says the following, there are three shitas we're about to see. Kitcha b'kikar. B'kikar, Rashbam says, is a large piece of silver. So he does kedushin with a large piece of silver. And besula, the govim asayim, v'amana mana. So the besula gets to collect 200, and the amana gets to collect 100, divrei Rebbe Meir. So again, unclear what's going on here. Rashbam says we have to wait for the Gemara. But he says you keep 100, 200. And Rebbe Huda Omer, besula govim asayim v'amana. And she collects 200, Amana collects Amana, Umach Zereslo Esashar, and she returns the remaining amount. So just you have to keep in mind, there are two things that are taking place here. One is the Kesef Kedushin, and the second thing is the collecting of the Ksuba. Those two things, the Kedushin money and the Ksuba. Who gets to collect which parts? So then there's a third Shita, which again, we're going to explain all this in just a few moments. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kidsha Be'esim, to get engaged with 20. So no sin lo shloshim chatzan. You return back 30 halves, which is really 15. Kitcha b'shloshim, so you get engaged with 30, so then no sin lo esim chatzan. You give 20 halves, which is really 10. So again, I don't expect you to know what's going on right now. The Gemara is about to explain. So b'mayaskinan, what exactly is this case of this brisa? Ilema shemesa, if it's talking about a case where she dies, so mi isle ksuba. Does she get a ksuba? When a woman dies, she doesn't get a ksuba. She only gets a ksuba if her husband dies or if they get divorced. But if she dies, so she doesn't get a ksuba. That's that Mishnah in Makos, that confusing Mishnah in Makos. A person wants to make an investment, like a life insurance plan. So he says, I'll pay you the woman. I know you need some money. Here's some cash. And then I get the return. If you get divorced or if you get widowed, so then I get the money. But again, there's a one-third chance, at least breaking it very simply, two options she's going to get the ksuba. If her husband dies, they get divorced. But if she dies, so then no one gets the ksuba. So you're investing money in this, buying from the ksuba, two-thirds a chance you're going to get collect the ksuba, one-third chance not. So here, what's going on here? Why did I bring that in? Because we see from here that when she dies, she doesn't collect the ksuba. It's only if he dies or they get divorced. Ella shemesu. So it has to be a case where the husband dies, so now she gets to collect the ksuba. So amai machzeres lesashar. So why does she have to return back some of the money? Some of the she gets to keep the ksuba. Everybody agrees when the husband dies, But there's according to Rabbi Yehuda, she has to return back the kesef of Kedushin, that kikah that was given to her. But why does she have to return any of the money back? Didn't we say above, v'neima, tenu li bali v'esmachimo, I'm waiting for my husband, bring him back from the dead, let's have a simcha. So she doesn't have to return the kesef of Kedushin if the husband dies. So if the husband dies, she gets to keep the kesef, and she gets to keep the ketubah. There wouldn't be a discussion. So what's the case of this braisa? Ella, ba'ones mishra, if it's onus, if she was raped, let's say, so then she gets a ksuba and returns the kesef, kedushin. Let's keep a line, let's see. Ella, ba'eshes Yisrael. She's zinsa. Must be a situation where it's a married woman who was mizana. She was zinsa. And therefore, so uvimai. What was the case? Iberatzon, if she willingly was mizana, mi is a ksuba. A woman who's mizana doesn't get a ksuba, she loses the ksuba. So that can't be the case here. The Ella Ba'onis must be a case where it's onus, where it was against her will. Well, Misha Sharila. So then she's permitted to stay married to her husband. She's not forced to separate from her husband. She doesn't have to collect any ksuva. Let them stay married. Ella Be'eshes Kohen Shenensa. It must be a case where she was married to a Kohen, and even though it was Nensa, even though it was against her will, the halacha is, as we know from the Gemara in Ksubas and elsewhere, Pesach Masuach Daftes, that if it's Nensa, so then she's not allowed to remain married to her husband, the Kohen, if she's Nensa. What's the case now? So now she was Nensa, and now she cannot remain married to her husband. Ubekedushin litibuin nitnu kamiflagi. So they're arguing when the husband initially, the Kohen, gave the kesef kedushin to his wife, his kala, was that given litibuin for her to keep forever? Or no, it was only on the condition that they end up getting married. So that's the debate here. So now we're going to read everything in. Rabbi Meir, the first opinion of the Braisa says, Savar Kedushin Litibuin Nitnu, that she's able to collect, keep everything, all the kikar kesef that was given to her when they got engaged, she could keep all of that kesef, in addition to getting the ksuba. That's all Rabbi Meir's opinion. But Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, no. Savar Lav Litibuin Nitnu. When the kikar was given to her initially to get engaged, it wasn't to keep forever, it was only on condition that they're allowed to get married. But she got Nensa, and they weren't allowed to get married. They have to get divorced now. So she has to return the kesef, but she does get to keep the masayim, or if she's not mana, the mana. So let's say it was given $1,000 for the ksuba. So now, let's say the kesef kedushin was $1,000. So if she's al-basula, she keeps $200 of the ksuba, and she returns the $800 of the kesef kedushin. Because Rabbi Huda holds that the kesef kedushin was lav, it wasn't given to be kept forever, it was expected to be returned. So that's the debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Everyone with me on this point? So again, I'll say it one more time. That Rabbi Meir says, when the kesef was given to her initially, it was given letibun, to keep forever. And even though they ended up not getting married because she was Nensa, and they're not allowed to stay married because she's an Eishes Kohen.
What was she Nensa before they got
between Kedushin and Nisun. Okay. So they can't go through with the marriage anymore because of this din, but still the money was given and she keeps all the money, and she also didn't get to collect her ksuba, which wasn't given to her just yet. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Yehuda says when the Chasan and the Kohen gave the money, it wasn't the Tibun, it wasn't given to forever, it was Al Tanai that they ended up getting married. The Maisa, there was no Nisuin, so she has to return the Kesef Kedushin. But she is able to collect the Ksuba. So she collects...
But she was never married, so how would she be entitled to the Ksuba?
Because the Ksuba kicks in even after the Erisin alone.
Just the
yeah, Kedushin. She has the rights to collect the Ksuba. So she collects the $200 if she's a Basula, or the $100 if she's an Almana, and then the remaining she has to return, the remaining Kesef Kedushin she has to return back to the Chas and the Kohen.
What does she collect if she's a divorcee?
She collects whatever the ksuba said as a basula or as almana.
So what
I missed that. So she collects the ksuba if she gets divorced.
All right, but there's no mana or masayim over there.
No, there is. Whatever the ksuba says,
the ksuba writes.
Exactly.
None of it is really real. It's you make up your own when there's a divorce.
No. Whatever's on the ksuba, her only rights. So ksuba sometimes is more. $100, $200 isn't accurate, by the way. But whatever the amount is, whatever's on the ksuba, that's all it really is owed. Now, sometimes going to court, it could get additional payments. That's a whole other part. But the ksuba has a lot of responsibilities that the husband has to her when they get divorced, but whole other discussion.
Not when they get divorced. No, my question was, let's say she's a divorcee.
Oh, when she gets remarried.
Okay. That's what I
So it depends. It would be, I think, a mana only. Also, just like an almana, mi'ikra din. But again, things are get added on all the time as well. I was signing a ksuba, so the Masechta Kedushin was explaining with the Chassan all the different details, what's listed here. And he mentioned he added a couple extra amounts of dollars that he'll be responsible for in, if something happens. So the Chassan, in a joke, he says, I'm not concerned anyway. He said, my father-in-law is very wealthy. It's okay. And the rabbi was like, you know, your father-in-law is sitting right here. You know that, right? So it was a little bit inappropriate. But either way, so the Gemara says, now where are we?
It could be the father-in-law made that one time. Hey.
It could be. Okay, where are we now? Rabbi Yossi. So what about Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi had this strange lashon of 20 and then half, 30 halves, and then the 30 and 20 halves. So Rabbi Yossi misafkele, he was unsure, ila tibu nitnu, ilo. When the chasan, the Kohen, gave the kesef initially, whether that was given the tibuin to be kept forever or not, the tibuin. So it becomes a mamon asafik, mamon mutal basafik, and the din is yechokin. You divide mamon mutal basafik. So now we have to figure out some of the math here. So hilkach, kidsha be'esrim, if they get married with 20, he gave her 20 amounts, which you have to do some math here just for a moment here, based on Rashi, 20 shkalim, it's a ratio of 1 to 4 zuzim, ends up being 80 zuzim. So they got married with the 80 zuzim. That's what he initially gave her. But now we don't know whether she keeps it or not. So we do half of that is 40. So she returns 40, she gets to keep 40. So she holds on to 40 of that kesef. But now she's also owed, we're assuming for some reason here, it's the case of an almana, Rashbam says. So now she's owed the 100 because she's an almana. She gets to collect the ksuba as well. So again, she has 80 initially as the kesef kedushin. So 40 she keeps for herself as the kesef, half of the kesef kedushin. Now there's other 40 that she should return. But she gets to keep that 40 because that's now part of her ksuba. And there's another 60 that the husband owes her. So that 60 comes from the 30 halves. It's really 15. So 15 shkalim, which turns into zuzim, is 15 times 4 is 60 zuzim. So that's how you get the calculation. Make sense, yeah? You didn't catch it? We'll read that inside Rashbam, maybe. Look at the Rashbam. I can't look at Adam if anyone else is getting this. It's not fair. So look at the Rashbam. Look at 5 wide lines down. 5 wide lines down, Rashbam says, Rabbi Yossi misafkele, vavi kedushin mamon hamuta basafik v'chalkim. So that money that was initially given to her, and now she was nansa and she's forced to get divorced, so we're not sure whether she gets to keep it or whether he gets to keep it. Umachzeres lo asecheitzi, so she has to return half of the kesef kedushin to him. Ocha sheves b'ksuvasa v'titrof mimenu mosa ksuba. Ignore that line for now. Hilkach. Kitcha le'almana. So let's say the Kohen got married to an almana. Be'esim shkalim, with 20 shkalim. He gave her 20 shkalim, which is based on this ratio, the hainu shmonim zuzim. So there are 1 shekel to 4 zuz. 20 shekel means 80 zuz now. So he gave her 80 zuz initially. Now, ha'arbaim zuzim, 40 zuzim, tzricha l'hachzir lo. She needs to return 40 back to him. So, v'choshavtan b'ksubasa. So instead of actually giving the 40 zuz to the Kohen, she holds on to it as part of her collection of the ksuba, which she's supposed to get a total of 100. So right now she collects her 40 to start with. So now she's owed another 60. How did she get the 60 zuz? So now, who knows the law, he pays her back shloshim chatzai shkalim, 30 half shekel. 30 half shekel is the same thing as 15 full shkalim. 15 full shkalim times 4 is 60. Hainu shishim zuz. Hare niskabla ha'almana emeya zuz dehainu mana b'ksubas. Okay. So then, back to the Gemara. But if it's a situation where hilchak kitcha be'esrim, nosin la'ashloshim chatzayin. But let's say kitcha be'shloshim. Let's say they got married initially, he gave her 30 kesef, 30 silver. That's how many zuzim, guys?
120.
So he gave 120 zuzim to her. She now, we don't know whether he gets it or she gets it. They cut it in half. So she keeps 60. Now the other 60, she returns back. But she's able to really keep that second 60 for her ksuba. So, how do you get to 40? So then, no sin la, he gives her back esrim chatzayim. Esrim chatzayim is 20 halves, which is really 10 full shkalim. 10 times 4 zuzim is 40. So that's how you get the 40 zuz. So she gets half the kesef kedushin, and she gets a full 100 zuz from the ksuba. Okay. Gemara now says, Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, Amar Rav Nachman, B'chol Makom, Shenagul Hachzir Machzirn. Any place where the practice was to return the kasev to the chassan's family, you return it. What's Makom Shenagul? Where's a place? So V'targama Naharda. Naharda was such a place that they had this practice of returning the kasev kedusha. What about Shar Bavel Mai? What about other places in Bavel? So Rabba, Rav Yosef, Damri Tevayu, both of them say, Mohara Hadre, Kedusha Lohadri. The Mohar, which is the Ksuba they would return, but the Kedushin they would not return, the Kesef Kedushin.
To the husband.
To the husband's family, exactly.
In what situation was that?
In a situation where he dies. Where he dies, she definitely keeps it. Situation where she dies, whether or not the chassan can take it back.
Yeah,
for which one?
Mohare.
Rashram says, Mohare, where is this? Oh, there are five lines up towards the end. Moharu Hadru, Sheshalach Acha Kedushin Vehain Savlanos, Hadre Mimisa Haisha. So it's referring to the gifts here. But Venir Beinai, Shtre Gavni Ninu, Mari Visavlanos. The Ha Savlanus Nami Hachi Baskin Le Kaman, Gavi Masisin de Savlanos. Betray Zimni Lamali. The Eshlomar, the Moar Hu Mamon Shemakdim La, Ata, Bimea Erusin She Kosa Bixubasa Kitinase Lo. Moar really seems to be something you write before.
A down payment. Sounds like a down payment.
A down payment of some sort, yeah. So it's not a ksuba. Typically, the mohar in the Torah refers to a ksuba. So different type of gifts. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Hilchasa, the bottom line is, Bein Shemes Hu, Bein Shemesahi, whether he dies, whether she dies, V'hadar Bei Hu, or he retracts, Moare Hadre Kedusha Lo Hadri. The Moare, the different types of gifts, would be returned, but the Kedushin would not be returned. But Hadre Be'ihi, if she pulls out of the marriage, Afilu Kedushin Nami Hadre, then even not only the gifts does she have to return, but even the Kesef Kedushin she would have to return. So Amriya Meymar said, Kedusha Lo Hadri, not true. Even the Kedushin in this case should not be returned, because Gzeira Shema Yomu Kedushin Tofsin Bachosa. Because when she returns it, now what's going to happen? You're going to think maybe there's never kedushin at all with this lady and that man. And that man might marry his sister, which is going to be usur because they were really engaged and there was a real divorce. So even though she returns, if she returned to kedushin, people might think that the whole kedushin was ukur, uprooted, and permitted to marry the sister. Ravashi says, Amar gita mochiachala. No, because there's going to be a divorce and everyone's going to hear about the get. So even though she returns the cast of Kedushin, but she gets a get. So everybody knows you're not going to be a married sister. V'hadr v'ashi b'dusi, isn't that mistaken? No one holds that way. Because dika d'shame b'ha, v'lo shame b'ha. Many people may have heard about the returning back of the cast of Kedushin, but they may not have heard about the get that was given to her, and might come to lead people to think that you're allowed to marry, that he's allowed to marry this sister. Okay. Gemara now says the last two lines of the Amud here. Shel shvinos nigvas bebezdim. The halach in the Mishnah was that shvinos is such a strong din that when you go give gifts to someone, it's a loan that he's now responsible to pay me back when I get married. So you could take him to court if he doesn't pay you back. It's a real halva. So the Gemara says that there are Tanur Rabbanan chamisha dvarim namru b'shoshvinos. There are five halachas said about shoshvinos. Number one, nigves bebezdin, it could be collected in bezdin. That's how strong of a halva it is. Number two is v'chozeres b'onasa. You who receive the shoshvinus first has to return it back in his time, which Rashbam says, when he gets married, you have an obligation to return it b'onasa. Not before, not after, only when the zman of him to get married is going to be. That's when you pay him back. Number three, ein b'mishum ribis. If you pay him back more, you gave him $10 and he gave you back $25, that's not an issue of ribis. We'll see why from the Gemara. And going on to Amud Beis, din number four, even though it is a halva, and normally Shemitas Ksafim cancels out all outstanding loans, it does not cancel out this halva of Shoshvinos. And five, the fifth in is Veina Bechor Notel Ba Pishnaim. The Bechor would not collect it. So if the father who's receiving the Shoshvinos in return, we don't say the Bechor gets double portion, he splits the Shoshvinos equally amongst his brothers. So the Gemara goes one by one explaining each of these halachas. Number one, Nigves Bey Bezdin, you could collect it in Bezdin if he doesn't pay me back. My taima, kimilvadami, it's like a real halva. He owes me money. I lay the money out for him initially, so now he pays me back. And if he doesn't pay me back, I could take him to Bezdin. It's a real halva. V'ein b'mishrim ribis, there is no ribis either. Delav adaita dehacha yavle. Very interesting din. Even though I gave him $15 and he returned me back $25 when I get married, That's not ribbis, because that wasn't his intention. Why not? So look at Rashbam writes three narrow lines down. The lav adaita the ribbis yavle. Shim ratza poseach lo. If he wants, he could give less also. He doesn't have to give the exact amount what I gave him. Ela mitoch simchas reyus harbe bedorim. Here be bedorim. Since there was so much, we got friendly over time, and he was so excited for my marriage, so he gave me more. It wasn't because he's trying to calculate at interest because he borrowed from me 10 years ago, so he added interest on top of it. No, he was just so happy. He was just being very generous. He did very well in the stock market, so he gave extra money, but that wasn't his intention at all. So this becomes a very, very big Indian here. Does that mean whenever loiv daiti, it's not ribbis when you don't have intentions? So there's a discussion they have in the back here about if a person borrows money in one currency, let's say shkalim, could he return it back in dollars? And seemingly it's not going to be exact. It might be slightly off by a few percentage points. Is that going to be a violation of ribbis if the dollar is going to be more valuable than the initial sale of the shkalim, the initial loan of the shkalim? So what he initially suggests in the back here, a person wasn't paying attention to this. He wanted to return back the money, even though it happens to be more valuable, that wasn't his intention, and he thinks it would be permitted. But he says, it doesn't seem to be so clear, because according to Tosfos, we'll see in just a second, Tosfos says the reason why Lava Daita Dahachi, because when you lent me the money, when I got married first, I didn't know for sure that I was going to pay you back. Let's say you never got married. There's no chiv. When it comes to regular loan, I have to pay you back. So then there's an intention. But when I received the money, I knew there's a possibility that you wouldn't get married and I wouldn't have to pay back. That's what the Lava Daita Dahachi means. In which case, if when it comes to borrowing money in shkalim to dollars, I definitely am paying you back. And therefore, it would be more like ribbis than this case of shoshvinos. Okay, the Gemara now says further. Ein hashvius misham tasa de lo karina be lo yigos. Shvius does not nullify, does not cancel out the loan because you can't call it lo yigos. What's lo yigos? The halacha is you can't pressure the lover to pay back the money. So the base in the Gemara's and Makos, it says that only Shemitah's Ksafim only kicks in when you're in theory are able to pressure him to pay back the money. We say don't pressure him back, and then we say Shemitah cancels it out. So why can't you pressure it here? So look what Rashbam says, the lo krina be lo yigos, shenu yachol ledachka bebezdin b'shvies. You can't take him to bezdin if you want. Sharei lo igiz manu achi yisahu ishav yachse lo az. Because he has no chiv to pay back until he gets married. So therefore, it's on the issue of lo yigos. So Tosos, based on this Gemara, proves the point. If you remember, the Gemara is in Makos. I'm not going to go through the Tosos here. But the whole Shaila, if I lend money a person money for 10 years, so there's a question whether or not Shemitah's Ksafim is going to be affected by that or not. So he proves from this Gemara that it won't be. Because the Gemara says, because in 10 years, I can't force you to pay back. Let's say I lend you year one of the 7-year cycle. So now Shemitah comes, I can't force you to pay because you have another 3 years to pay me back here, there. So I wouldn't pressure you, I can't take you to Bezdin because you have 3 years on the term. So therefore, there's no lo yigos. So Gemara says, so based on this, Rabbeinu Tam says, since you can't pressure, just like the wedding, you could get married in 2, 5, 10 years from now, there's no pressure, so Shemitah's Ksafim doesn't affect anything that you can't collect right now. So to approve that the 10-year term, you can't, Shemitah's Ksafim doesn't affect it, since you cannot collect, it can't be lo yigos currently. Gemara now says, Veina b'chor notel pishnayim. A b'chor doesn't collect double portion. So if the shoshvinus comes back to the father's family, he doesn't collect two, he splits equally with all his other brothers. Why? Tavaloi ra'oi, veina b'chor notel b'rai k'b'muchsa. Because when the father died, the shoshvinus wasn't there just yet. So you can't collect a ra'oi. And therefore, he only collects evenly. And then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kana, Klala de Shoshvinusa, these are the following principles of Shoshvinusa, of paying back the gifts. Haba B'masa, if the guy's in the city the same time of the way, his friend, Reuven, came to my wedding. Reuven came to my wedding, he paid me Shoshvinus. Now Reuven goes ahead and gets married. I need to return back to him a Shoshvinus. So if I'm in the city when he gets married, I need to go attend the wedding and to be masameach with him and return back the shoshvinos. Shama, let's say, shama kol tavla, ibaile lemasa. I need to go to the city if I hear the sounds of the chasana. Lo shama kala tavla. If I didn't hear the sounds of the chasana, ibaile lo dia. So the chasana needs to let me know to invite me to come to the shir. to the chasna rather. He should have invited me. And the fact that he didn't invite me, so Tarumos Islay, I've got taina that he didn't invite me to the wedding, I invited him, but still I'm not pater entirely, Mishalim, Shlume Mishalim, I still need to pay him back. So even though he didn't invite me to the wedding, when I invited him, I still need to, if he paid me money, he gave me gifts, I need to return the favor and give him gifts. But the Gemara does acknowledge I don't have to pay him the full amount, because I'm not getting to eat from the Suda, I'm not getting any Hana, because I'm just paying him back without getting a good meal. So Vad Kama, how much could I detract from when I pay him back the gift? So Amar Bai says, Nagu B'nei Ganana, these people had the following practice, Ad Zuza. Up until Zuz, I see Bekafa, Achla Bekarsa. You bring a Zuz and you eat a Zuz worth. So when you pay, you know, when you come and give a wedding gift, you give $100, so you know the meal costs $55 there. So, you know, whatever the amounts are. So whatever the cost of the meal is, that's what you could detract. So the Gemara says a Zuz is what the cost of the meal would be. So that you could take off what you plan on giving, detract the Zuz, but since you weren't invited and didn't eat any of that meal. So then the Gemara says, Ad Arba Mishalim Paga. But let's say the guy planned on giving more shoshvinas. He planned on giving four. So then he has to actually detract half. He takes off two as opposed to one. Why? So Rashbam says when a guy pays more to the chassan's family or the chassan kala, he's going to enjoy the wedding more. A guy comes, gives a $30 to the guy. He feels bad eating so much of the baby lamb chops that they're serving. You know, it's an expensive thing. I shouldn't really be taking part. But if I give the guy a $1,000 check, I paid the guy a lot of money, helping him pay for the wedding, I could have as many baby lamb chops as I want, so therefore it's going to go a little bit more of what you take off, because you eat depending on how much money you give the chasson.
Really, so let's say the guy gives him $1,000 and he's serving the wedding dry chicken.
I said quality. It could be quantity also. But you're right. There's a discussion whether they have shushvinis bismanas. Anyways, we don't assume that they're shushvinis. So the maisa doesn't apply. It's nice to give wedding gifts all the time anyways, but it's not considered. Then the Gemara says, Mikan ve'elech, the guy gives more, so then inish b'chashivusa. It all depends on the guy's own chashivus and the honor, how much money he wants to give. And again, there's no real calculation. It really all depends on what he kind of keep what he wants to give the chasun, how much money, how much food he would have eaten. It all depends on the situation. Gemara now says, the Tanur Rabbanan asa imo b'pumbi. A guy, initially the first wedding that I went to Reuven's wedding, it was a whole big farhesi, it was a big public event, a big simcha, ubikesh lasos imo betzina. Now, I want to get married, I want to make a small wedding party here. So, the guy says, the guy who has to pay me back the shoshvinas, yachal lomar lo, bepumbi asa imcha, kederach shasis imi. I'm only willing to help you pay for making a big meal. Make a small wedding. I'm not going to give you a meal. You don't need help for paying for 15 people in this wedding hall. So if you want to have a big suda like I had, I'll pay you. Otherwise not. And he actually is able to make such a taina, the Gemara says. You're allowed to do this. Now, what's interesting, just look at the Rashbam here. Asi imo bepumbi, begaloi simchas miforsemes. That was the first wedding. It was a big, nice wedding. Now the second guy, his friend gets married later on. Gamhu isha bikesh lasos chuposa b'tznias. He wants to do it more private. Olufi shas sarahi, either because maybe it was a hard time for him or hard time in the community, or she wrote to the tamtei besudasa. He wanted to save some costs here. Rashbam says because he was just scared of people, he's just a very private individual and gets uncomfortable with big crowds, whatever the reason might be, so he's able to say, the guy can say, I'm only paying you back if there's a big fanfare. Why? So Rashbam says because bepumbi ani esimcha, besimcha yiseira ani chefetz. I want to give you a big simcha. I want to pay you a lot of money here, and you're not willing to do this. Now, that makes somewhat of sense. Now, what's interesting is the Rashbam says, he writes, when it's done b'tznias, lo harei simcha klum. There is no simcha at all when it's done b'tznias. That's why I don't have to pay back you. It's no simcha, but 10 people at a wedding, that's not called simcha, says the Rabbeinu Gershom, which is an amazing thing. Rashbam says, of course there's simcha when there's a small event. It's just not simcha yiseira, but of course there's a level of simcha. So I'm not fully grasping why the guy doesn't have to pay back, because the guy wants to make a small party, but that's what the din says. Okay. Gemara now says, "Asi imo bebesula." The guy got married. My friend got married to a besula. Ubikesh lasos imo ba'amana. I'm getting married to an amana. So that guy could say, "I'm not paying you back." Yachalomar, he could say, "Bebesula esa imcha kederach shasis imi." You only pay me back for marrying a besula. You're marrying an amana. That's not such a simcha. So I'm not paying you back unless you marry a besula like that. Again, I'm not really grasping this svar here. Furthermore, the Gemara says, B'shniya, ubikesh lasos ima b'rishona. So yachal omar lo kishatisa isha acheres esamcha. So let's say I paid shoshvinis for your second wedding, and I'm getting married for the first time. You could say, no, you'll get married the first time. When you get married a second time, then I'll help you pay for your wedding. So then the Gemara says, Be'achas, the guy gets married to one wife. So the first guy gets married to one wife. And the second friend, B'kesh la'azos imo b'shtayim, he wants to get married to two wives now, one time, a little break in between, so it's not Eim Arvin Simcha b'Simcha, but I'm paying for two weddings now, my two wives. So Yachalomar, the guy could say, Ba'achas esemcha, k'derach shasisi imi. If you're marrying one wife, then I'll help you pay for the wedding, I'll give you some presents. But if it's two wives, that's not exactly how I got married, and I'm not willing to help you out. Okay, interesting din. Marna says, Tanir Rabbanan, Asir nichasim, Asir pumbi, Zehu bal hagada. So persons with Asir, Lashon of Ashir, a wealthy person in property, a wealthy person but pumbi, and it's well known. That's a reference to Baal HaGadot, a fascinating Rashbam here. We see Gemara's indicate this as well, wide lines down. Baal HaGadot, Shedorish b'chomakum b'rabim b'bati mishtalos. He would always, at wedding parties, he'd be the exciting speaker, the animated speaker. Shedorish b'yomim tovim b'chol nesaf from the Shema. Everyone hears him speak when it comes to the Yom Tov. V'yesh l'kol chachma, he's a wise individual. U'baal HaShmeinu, that's coming to teach us, Shemitoch she'ein agadot shichasiyin, yachol lidrosh b'chomakum. It doesn't require that much research. You're telling a nice story over a nice agadah. Doesn't require heavy ian, so it's very light on the people to listen to. That's what it means. A person is wealthy in the chasim. He's got a big crowd coming to hear him. Then the Gemara says, Asir Shlam, a person who is very wealthy, which is referring to coins, and Asir Takua, which is referring to he has many houses, real estate, Zeo Baal Pilpul. That's a person who could do a lot of pilpul. Okay? And then the Gemara says, an Asir Mashach, Asir Kamas, person who's got the Rashbam says, Anshe Midos, person who's got things that get measured, a lot of grain which gets measured. So that person, that's a reference to Zeh Baal Shmuos. Baal Shmuos, who Rashbam says, who knows halachas and knows a lot of statements, he knows a lot of shas, and he when he's able to get to Psak Halach, he's able to say what the halach is. That's what this phrase refers to. Hakol Tzrichin Lemare Chatya Gemara. Everybody needs to learn Gemara because that's the Ikker Talmud, because all the halacha is learned out from Gemara. You can't learn halacha from Mishnah, you can only learn halacha from Gemara. So these are just different ways, again, phrases and terms you would refer to these different types of learners, the Baal Agados, the Baal Pilpul, and the Baal Shmuos. Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Zeir, Amar Rabbi Rav, my dechsev, what does a pasuk mean? The pasuk says in Mishlei, Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im, all the days of the Ani are evil. So, Zeh Baal Talmud. That's a Baal Talmud. Learning Gemara only, it's a tough thing because it requires so much effort and a melech, so it's a struggle. V'tov lev mishta, person Talmud, a person who's who has been enjoying his life, Zeh Baal Mishnah. Mishnah is very light and it's soft. That's the first understanding. But Rav Amar Ipcha, no, the opposite's true. Because when you learn Mishnah, you have no answers. You have all these questions. What does this mean? What does that mean? Gemara, actually, even though it's hard, it gives you some yeshiva das because you start to get answers and you can start getting halacha lemaisa. And he has a whole opposite understanding of what this pasuk means. That's what he said in the name of Rava. That my dichsiv, what does the pasuk mean in Koheles when it says Masia Avanim Yatzev Bahem? And when you soften the rocks, Yatzev, you should be sad. Bokeh Etim Yisachin Bahem. And when you break wood, Yisachin is Lashon Hana. You're going to enjoy it. Lashon Chamima, says the Rashbam. So what does this mean? So the Gemara explained as follows. When you start cutting rocks, you get sad. Elu Bali Mishnah, because we learn Mishnah, it's very nice. You get accomplished, you move fast, but you have no idea what's going on in the Mishnah. But when you break the wood, so then you start getting warmed up and you enjoy it. Yisachin Bahem, Elu Bali Talmud, who start getting some of the answers and start figuring things out. Rabbi Chanina Amar Kol Yimei Ani Ram, he has a different interpretation of this pasuk. All the days of his poverty are evil or bad. Sheyesh Lo Isha Ra, a person has a bad wife. That's what the pasuk refers to. But Tov Lev Mishav Tamid, Zeh Sheyesh Lo Isha Tova, a person has a very nice wife. Rabbi Yane Amar Kol Yimei Ani Ram, that's referring to Zeh Istinis, a person who's so careful about every single thing, his OCD, let's say, if you will. The Tov Lev Mishav Tamid, Zeh Shedai Tiyaf, a person who's very easygoing and relaxed. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Koy Me Ani Ram Zerachaman, a person who is very merciful, because he's so merciful, people step all over him. And Tov Le Mishta Tamid Zerachzari, even though Achzarius is a bad thing, but at least he's able to stand ground and doesn't get pushed over. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, Koi me ani roim, Zeshadaita Ksar, a person who's got a short temper. Vitov Lev Mishta Tom, Zeshadaita Rach, a person who's very open and loose and doesn't get so excited about things and when things don't go the right way. And then we'll just jump to the mission really quickly. Gemara then says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Koi me ani roim. Is it really true that all the days this person's very bad? There's some days that this guy must have a good time. V'ha'ika Shabbos v'yamon tovim. That must be a good day for him. He can have a little relaxation. So says the Gemara, even Shabbos Yom Tov are bad for these such people because Damar Shmuel Shinoi Veses Tzichilas Choli. When do you start changing around a little bit about the way the people eat? That also is not a person's stomach doesn't work very well with that, and even those days will be considered bad. Ksiv B'Sefer Ben Sira, Sefer Ben Sira, it's written as follows that Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im, all the days are bad, and he added on Ben Sira Omri Af. Lailos b'shafal gagim, even nights are going to be bad, b'shafal gagim. What does that mean? So that the roofs are going to start coming down, and gagamam tir gagim, one second, it'll be right, b'shafal gagim gago, that the roof that's low are going to be lower than the other roofs in the area, and he won't have money to raise it up, and mimtar gagim legago, when the rain comes, it's going to cause it to come down even more, and he won't have any menucha at night time. And Berom Harim Karmo, his karm is going to be on the top of a mountain, which he can't get to easily. That's going to be more challenging for him. And Afar Karmel Akramim, and the dirt's all going to pick up and fall onto his karm and ruin it. So things get worse and worse for such a person. That's what he said in his psukim in Sefer Ben Zira. Not sure what to do with that exactly. But we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.